Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And this week, we are coming to you live from the Pit Attic, the weird hole that we record in sometimes.
Ooh. It's a cool hole.
It's a cool hole, and we have some cool friends with us. Let's hear you guys give a round of applause, cool friends.
Yeah, cool friends.
All right, there you go. Thank you guys so much for coming down. Thank you guys for listening.
This is a real treehouse vibe, right? Is that something you guys like? Is that cool?
It's like the top part of the T in Titans Tower.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
that's
it's a little bit
analogy.
Like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that an analogy or just a reference?
Reference, sure.
Oh, absolutely. This is an exciting week.
Yeah.
It's a very exciting week. A lot of stuff going on, a lot of election stuff. Also, San Diego Comic-Con just happened.
Cool. Glad you slid the election in there.
Well, you know, it's a historic night because we're performing here in the Pit Attic, and that's basically the only thing historic about
this
tonight.
Is an outpost of the DNC, obviously.
Yes,
Michelle Obama will be here later, coming off her great speech.
Right, she's going to give a whole speech about The Flash. That took me way too long to think of.
Yeah, that really did.
You really ran out of gas.
But guys, we don't have a guest tonight. Our guest unfortunately got sick. She'll be showing up at a later date in September. So it's just the three of us talking about comic books.
And you know, I feel like I haven't really gotten a chance to hang with you guys. So
yeah, because you had
a baby. Well, you had a baby, but you missed Pete's birthday.
Yeah, you did.
I said happy birthday.
Oh, thanks.
I sent a nice text. Remember?
Yeah. It was like, fuck you, you're a piece of shit.
That is not what I said. That's what you see.
That's what I replied.
That is confusing.
Yeah, should we sing
I'm
happy
drinking
birthday
water because I'm so hungover today.
Now, really?
Can we hear how old you are?
No, you cannot.
Oh, no? You don't want to tell your
Well,
your
what
fans?
About in comic book years? How many comic books have you read? That's how you measure comic book years.
For comic book years is 12, multiple times 12.
Okay.
So it's like...
So I'm 300 and something. I don't know.
Good. So astute listeners can do a little math.
Yeah,
I definitely didn't figure this out. Yeah. Should we get into it?
Did you enjoy your birthday? Like, tell us. You sound miserable.
I am miserable. Thank you. It was going great, and then I got real drunk and thought it'd be a great idea to see Batman Killing Joke.
How'd that happen?
That was not a good idea.
Nothing like a great animated movie after 10 beers.
Yeah.
That's what they say. The best way to enjoy Finding Dory is half in the back.
Yeah, was that it? You meant to see Finding Dory and accidentally saw The Killing Joke instead?
No.
Oh, okay. So I didn't see it. I know there was a big controversy this weekend about it at San Diego Comic-Con because of certain changes. For example, Batgirl... how do we say this? Fucks Batman?
Yeah.
Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's accurate.
Yeah, we were talking about this a little bit before the show. I feel like, you know, in terms of the Batgirl-Batman relationship, they've had a sexual relationship never.
So then they put it in the fucking movie, just slipped it in there.
Well, but like, you know.
Pete, that was awful.
That's drunk Pete.
No, here's the thing. I didn't see it, and I didn't see the scene or anything like that, so I didn't want to prejudge it. But Pete, you've seen the whole movie.
Yep.
Does it make sense in the context of the movie?
Does it support the story?
No.
Well, but here's the
or
thing.
Or was it somebody being like, yeah, I want to see Batgirl's
tits. I heard
about
the controversy, and I was like.
Or animated?
This is it's too amazing to ruin, right? Because I thought, like, it's got all my favorite voices. You got Mark Hamill doing Joker, Kevin Conroy doing Batman. Like,
who's doing the sex noises?
I don't know. So I just was
Barack Obama.
I was just super excited about this. Came out on my birthday, so I was like, there's no way this is going to be bad. So I did the proper amount of pre-gaming to be just super excited when I was in the theater. By the way, I was trying to get the crowd riled up. Nobody was having it.
At a movie?
Yeah.
Here's the thing, Pete. I said this about you before, that a lot of your reviews are you being the drunk guy at a party reviewing the party while drunk.
Yeah, somebody really liked that on Twitter.
Yeah, I know. And this is just literally doing.
Well, I thought I would, you know, really, you know, explore your idea. You know, like really dive into it and see how right you are.
Great.
The weird thing about it to me, not to get too deep into it, and again, I haven't seen the movie or anything, is Killing Joke's really controversial, particularly because of the scene where Joker shoots Batgirl, That there's a lot of different ways you can take it, but over time, people have taken it to imply that the Joker does rape Batgirl and take pictures of it. And it certainly has not aged well as we have progressed as a society and come to understand that's not cool, to put it lightly.
Yeah. I don't know how cool it was back then either.
No, it wasn't. Not cool, but there's a very different context now than I think it was when it was released. So it's weird, super weird that they added a sex scene with Batgirl and Batman, like beyond the fact that...
Well, what they tried to do is they tried to, because they had this extra time, they wanted it to be like, hey, get to know Batgirl, see what she's all about.
Fall in love.
Which is fine, like, great. I love Batgirl. I have no problem with that. But what sucked is they also did this thing where, like, Batgirl was, you know, during the daytime talking to her friend and being like, yeah, you know, I'm in a relationship. I'm not in a relationship. And I'm like, do you think you're dating Batman because you guys fight crime together? And then, like...
Common.
So she...
It's very common.
Kind of got wrapped up in a moment, started kissing Batman. They got it on. And then, like, Batman was a complete asshole the rest of the time. Like,
he did that thing where he vanished without saying goodbye.
No, it was like...
Now, that makes sense. That happens. Sometimes you got to do that.
No, guys, like, right?
He ghosted.
He was just not addressing it, not being understanding about it at all. It was really...
Hey, Batgirl, would you mind? There's some villains that are... This is weird, I know, but I have some villains. I need help fighting them.
I have to get up for an early crime fighting. Yeah. So, I mean, late. I mean.
Anyways, you guys aren't helping our cause at all.
Here's the thing. It took, I think the best sort of reference to make would be, it took a lot of seasons for Chandler and Monica to fall in love in Friends. Oh, and this, I think, is the same...
Come in, Rolando. Please, come in. Sit down. Man.
Glad you
don't be scared. Hi, thanks so much. Thanks for coming late and ruining our show, Rolando.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do.
All right, whatever.
Okay, great. Wow, this treehouse is much more intimate.
it is. All right, so what would you say? Don't check that out?
I would say do not check that out. Okay. I was very disappointed in the choices they made.
I'm curious.
And also the animation, the style wasn't... I didn't really love it as much as I wanted.
It wasn't your style.
Oh. Yeah, I was hoping it'd be
more. Was it
more...
a packed theater?
Yeah, it was packed.
That's good. How many people left after you started shouting?
Well, nobody.
Huh.
Yeah. I mean, they got the little guys with flashlights to come and talk to me, but that didn't help anything.
Yeah.
Nice.
I just want to make 100% sure you didn't accidentally see Secret Life of Pets, right?
No, I didn't.
Okay, all right, because that would explain a lot of why the shouting didn't work. All right, guys, so why don't we move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah, we do.
And to the stack, we're going to talk about some books that came out this week. Let's kick it off with Justin's pick. This is an interesting stack that we have today.
Very controversial.
Superman
choice.
Number 3 from DC Comics. Pass it over to you by Peter Tomasi and Patrick Gleason.
Great team.
Great team.
Been fans of them for many years.
So we haven't really been talking about what's been going on the Superman side of the DC universe.
It's a weird side.
We talked a little bit about the last...
we talked about New Superman.
Yeah, we did.
We talked about New Superman. That counts. But, sure.
But this is... So it's pretty crazy, I think, actually. I'm surprised it's not getting more press. We have a Superman from another dimension who's married...
That's why it's not getting more press.
Oh, because the dimension?
Yeah, dimension. Just
it's
stop you there.
Just... Oh, yeah. It's
but
just
this is
a dimension.
The main Superman title, right?
It's called Superman.
I mean, fuck.
Yeah. It's not called Weird Superman or the
it
other,
should be.
Like, oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So Superman's married to Lois Lane. They have a son, and they're living in Smallville. He's growing up. He's developing his powers. It's sort of he's sort of the focus of the story, but it's really weird, but they're telling great stories. I really like it. So in this issue, they go to the Fortress of Solitude, encounter the Eradicator, who... eats
crypto.
Crypto.
Yeah.
It's very sad.
Well, it's not like he sets down to eat him.
No, he bakes him.
He's trying to eat Superman's son, and Crypto jumps.
Why are you saying, like, no, it's not that weird. He's trying to eat his son, and he accidentally eats his dog.
Right, that's
you make
like...
it sound like he sat down, and he's like, I'll have the dog, please.
Yeah.
Well, what, but that's
do you have
like,
a Kryptonian dog on the menu
that's
tonight?
That's like if he ordered a hamburger and then sat down and ate a dog. It's basically the same thing.
No, Pete really liked that. Has that happened to you, Pete?
Yeah. Well, how drunk did you get the other day?
You still seem drunk.
Thank you, yes.
That's not a compliment.
Well, it's...
Well, first of all, I mean, on the crypto thing. So they established earlier in the issue that these eradicators were a group of robot-y type things that worked for General Zod. And what they do is they'd fly around, find criminals, suck them into their mouths, their essences, their souls, and send them to the Phantom Zone. Yeah. And then leave their bodies behind for cryogenic processing until they could be brought back.
You know, so normal stuff.
Normal stuff.
Sure. And again, this is why it's not getting a lot of press. But the... So Crypto's in the Phantom Zone. I mean, that's what's going on. Crypto's not dead. Crypto's going
to
come back.
Do all dogs go to the Phantom Zone, though? It really makes sense. Yeah.
The thing that I think is weirdest about what's going on with Superman right now is that they brought back what people wanted, which was Superman and Lois in a relationship, and it's heartfelt, and they love each other, but it's this other-dimensional Superman, and then they have a son, and there's all these extra added things that make it feel like we brought back the classic Superman you know and love, except for these 15 things.
Different guy, different Lois, son. Remember Superman Returns? You guys love that, right? Here it is, sort of.
Yeah, but do you like this book?
I like it. I like how weird it is, even though reading it, you can sort of feel like, oh, no one's going to read this.
Yeah.
But I like the actual storytelling, and the characters are actually very well done.
Yeah, and the art's pretty good as well. The Eradicator is super weird. The design, we've been saying the word weird a lot, but it really is. It's like very strange, but it's
mouth-focused.
Mouth-focused, but it's really interesting. I like it. All right.
So I like this book a lot, even though.
I think it's just a little too weird for the main Superman title.
So you think it's good because it's weird, but you don't think it's good because it's weird.
What if I just crossed off the Superman? Would that be all right?
Yeah, because I would be like, oh, this isn't the main title. It can get weird like this. But it's just like, why is there like 80s Terminator Superman in this thing sucking kids? It's really weird.
Yo.
Whoa.
Well,
let's move
again,
on.
Pete, I think that review will go on a trade someday.
Cool. Let's move on with Pete's pick, The Hellblazer, #1, also from DC Comics.
Yeah.
Now, Pete, you were pretty psyched for this last week.
Now,
did it deliver on all of your expectations?
But I got to say, this is something I would expect you not to be psyched for.
Really?
Yeah. Because it's John Constantine in the main DC universe not being...
It's not Vertigo, it's not as edgy, but at least it's here. We have a Hellblazer.
So tell me what you thought.
Well, I thought this was a good first issue. I thought this really established the character, let you know kind of his deal, all the players involved. The art choice, you know, John looked a little anime and young, but I liked this story. I thought it was like a good first issue of Hellblazer. This is the world. If you kind of like this, you should check out more. I thought it was a solid first issue.
This is like the Punisher of Hellblazer issues.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah. So
what do you mean by that?
That the Punisher keeps doing the same story over and over and over again. And this
never
is...
Never get tired of it.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is why you liked it, is I read this and I felt like... Yeah, they read the Vertigo issues of Constantine, and they're just doing it again.
It does feel what you want. But see, you like seeing the same stories. Like, how many times have you seen the movie Tommy Boy?
Oh, my God. Who can count?
I went to Pete's house once, and it was just on.
Yeah, that's how
and
you
then
watch
I, the
it.
Next time I went to Pete's house, it was also on. And he had a VHS tape.
You put wake up, you hit play, that's how you start your day.
It explains so much. Great movie, though, right?
Yeah. I mean, this issue is solid and fine, but the run on, I know you made fun of me last week, Pete, for not remembering what it's called, but they've done John Constantine, Hellblazer, The Hellblazer, Hellblazer, The John Constantine. Like, they've done every iteration of it, so I don't remember which one it was, but the one that James Tynion IV did.
The most recent one.
Yeah, which I thought that was great. That
you
was a different take, different
so
art.
So good. It was sorry, Pete, but this, it was much better than this run.
Nope.
This feels very, like, everything's washed out. The character feels like just a stock guy who's like, yeah, I'm into magic, but I'm also, like, a jerk.
Right.
And it felt like the last iteration had real, like, he was suffering through something. He was figuring some stuff out.
It seems like you guys were bringing him some negative shit to this book before you even read it.
No, I think we're bringing a positive.
You didn't even give this a real chance.
No, I did. I read it and I didn't like it.
Yeah, I read the words and then I looked at the pictures.
That's not fair, actually. I thought it was fine. Also, these rebirth issues, we talked about this before for those who aren't familiar. The rebirth, the way DC Rebirth is working is they're bringing stuff back to basics. They're having a one-shot issue that reestablishes the premise or works as kind of a loose pilot in some ways. And then they launch the main series with another number one.
Smart.
So, yeah, so this one...
How many years away are we from just having all comics having a number one on them?
1 year.
Yeah. Oh, smart.
Smart. Don't forget the important part. In every DC comic, there's four pages of a goddamn Snickers ad that drives you insane every time you see it.
I will say, I agree with you. And I actually, the first time I read it, I was like, oh, that's a pretty good Snickers commercial.
What?
The first time I read it, because it's like the TV commercial that they've done here, and they did it in a comic book. Fine. The next time, I was like, fuck this ad. Because it's too long.
Have you had any Snickers since we talked about
this? No, I'm boycotting Snickers.
Oh, okay. Right. There we go.
To be fair, you're like the character before they've had the Snickers bar.
Right. That's
what do you think Pete would become if he actually had a Snickers?
Just a cute little kitten.
All right, there
a
we
little
go.
Baby
All right, let's move on. This is my pick, Snot Girl, number one. Yeah. From Image Comics.
People into it.
Now, this is an interesting book. This is by Brian Lee.
Explain yourself. Right. Explain. Jesus, when you ever go into high-pitched voice, we know you've got some splaining to do.
So this is by Brian Lee O'Malley, who wrote Scott Pilgrim and, and Seconds and a third book that I literally always blank on the name of, but they're all good. And the art is by Leslie Hung and Mickey Quinn. This is very different from both Seconds and from Scott Pilgrim.
So great. So explain it to us in a positive way.
Yep.
Sure. So it's he's always been into the manga style, and Scott Pilgrim was very much reinventing and Americanizing the manga style.
Sure, sure.
This
very
veers
cool.
far more into manga style of storytelling, but in the length of a floppy comic book.
Mm, floppy.
Huh. Mm-hmm. So far you haven't told us anything about what's actually happened.
The big thing you pushed was the floppiness.
Yeah.
Which, not a selling point.
He's off
his game.
Yeah. All right. So this book is it's mixed.
It's mixed.
Now it's mixed.
What is it mixed with what?
It's
what mixed with what?
So no. It's a mixed bag.
Okay. Interesting.
It's a mixed bag.
Here's do you want to explain? So, Snot Girl, she's a blogger, which is a very fresh term. Yeah. Let me just say
she
says it more times than any other word.
Yeah.
She says the word blogger. She's a fashion blogger, which sounds like something your grandmother would be like, have you thought about being a fashion blogger? I read it in Cosmo. You'd be great at it because you wear all these great outfits. That's what it seems like. This is written by someone who is... many years in the past.
Sure.
Really, she should be, the character would be on like Instagram or something, but they keep using the term blogger. It's very, that took me out of it so much.
You know, blogging is a real thing.
I know, but it's not something people are like, hey, are you a blogger? What blogs have you read today? Who's blogging?
There are people out there blogging.
There are, yeah.
Yeah.
But you're right.
It's still a thing.
Right.
Yeah, no, I think
crazy.
You're right. Blog is a pretty old term.
Thank you.
They're all websites now.
Great. See?
There you go. So, she'd probably be a Snapchat.
Getting past that point, can you tell me what the fuck this comic is about?
Sure. So it's about a fashion blogger. Her code name is... And there you go. She's a blogger.
Wait. Her code name is what?
Snot Girl.
Is it?
She has allergies. Let me sell this book to you. This girl is a fashion blogger with allergies.
Wow. All right, let me actually sell this to you.
Please try.
Because again, with the manga style, to me this is just the beginning. Total setup. There's a lot of setup in this issue. She's a fashion blogger. She has allergies, so she has this double life where she wants to hide herself away from the world. She feels like she's ugly. She feels like she's not good enough.
Mm-hmm. Even though she talks about how beautiful she is in a lot of her pictures.
Yeah, there's no person in the world who is outwardly very effusive and puts forward this positive bent and deep down is actually totally broken. There's nobody like that, right?
I'm not saying it's not an unoriginal thought.
I was talking about Batman.
Whoa.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, there we go. And at the end of this issue, there's a twist that totally changes the book and takes it in an entirely different direction.
I agree. I really...
So, can I try to understand what you guys think the twist is? Because I read it and I thought...
There, sure. If you don't get the twist, then I don't know what you're reading.
Yeah, what are you talking about? It's okay, pretty so, obvious.
Okay, so it's obvious. The snot is killing people.
I guess it wasn't that obvious.
That is not what's happening.
It's called Snot Girl. And all of a sudden, somebody's dead. How else is that person supposed to die?
To be fair, that could be true.
Sure, but it's not.
It's not. Great. We're friends. end of the book. Pete already spoiled it. She's in a bathroom. She's made friends with this girl, and she's embarrassed by what's happening to her. And then a second later, her new best friend is dead on the floor, and she doesn't know what happened. So. That part I really liked. I thought that was actually really nice.
To get back to the manga thing, it feels like the first chapter of a manga where they always have these very clear setups of, this is my job. I am the best at my job. And then something happens that twists the story and takes it in another direction where they discover something surprising. So I almost wish this was released as a volume versus as a single comic issue.
A floppy.
Yeah, as a floppy, as we call it. Because I feel like that would have told the story better, but we'll have to see.
What do you think? Why do you think she's dead?
What are you talking about?
The dead girl. Talking about the dead girl.
You want to solve this mystery?
It's obvious what the fucking twist is.
The twist was that she was killed.
No, she wasn't killed. The snot girl has these pills, right?
Right. Yeah.
They're round, circular pills.
Mm-hmm.
It's little spheres.
We know what fucking pills look like.
Yeah, she drops them all over the floor.
Right.
The girl trips and falls on the pills and knocks her head and dies.
Why didn't she cut them up and snort them like anybody else does when they find pills?
No, not
Snot
Girl.
Whoa!
Wait, what?
Big reveal from that's
what
a, now
that
do
last night.
That's the twist.
Oh my god!
Well, I guess we'll see what happened.
We'll see what happened, or maybe it's not.
Oh, good. That's a good way to end the stack as usual.
It sure is. And it's time for our next section, which is my favorite section because I get to come all the way out to you guys. It's your audience questions.
Yes.
So, guys, if you have questions about absolutely anything, comic books, media, the arts, absolutely anything
like
that.
Yeah, let's talk about the arts.
Yeah, what's your favorite painting?
Oh, wow.
Starry Night.
Fuck. You took my pick.
You had that on the tip of your tongue. That's great.
You're going to get some free comics, so raise your hand. Absolutely anybody. Here, I'll come out to you, sir. First, what's your name? What's your question?
My name is Hugo.
Hi, Hugo. Hi.
Yo.
I thought, Pete, yours would be the screamer, but all right.
Ah, good call. Nice. Very good.
So I was on, some comics-related blogs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry,
cool.
Website.
Are you
cool
a blogger?
Term. Very cool term.
And they're talking about, The Walking Dead and what might happen in the next season. And I just feel like I'm tired of it. It's the same thing every season, run, fight, die, run, fight, die.
Right.
And, I mean, is it just me? Are you guys tired of it? Do you still feel as excited about it?
Great question.
Yeah. So at San Diego Comic-Con this past weekend, they showed off the first trailer for The Walking Dead Season 7. And, it's the same thing. They're playing off of the Negan, who did Negan kill at the end of last season. I thought, first of all, that trailer was great.
What?
I love that trailer.
Do you love the way it played with your fucking emotions?
Yeah, because it played with your emotions.
Man, do you remember how we left you hanging? Guess what? Still going to leave you hanging, motherfucker.
Did you want them to spoil it in the trailer?
Yes.
That's ridiculous.
That is weird.
So it's a great trailer, so that got me re-excited about the show. But the other thing to your point is the run, fight, die. Sure, there's always going to be elements of that, but we're entering an entire new era with that show where the dynamic has totally changed. We're setting up all of these different areas beyond Alexandria, beyond the hilltop, where we're heading into, and this is a spoiler for anybody who hasn't read the book, we're heading into an area where they go into an all-out war. Like, they actually have a strategic war where they try to take down Negan and his saviors. So that's going to happen.
There's allies, the kingdom, the tiger. Exactly. How cool is the tiger?
The tiger was awesome.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm re-excited about the show, actually, as we head into the seventh season, but I'm curious to hear what you guys think.
I mean, I agree with you. I do think, even beyond the run, fight, die aspect of it, the bleakness of it is what wears on me. It's become one of those shows that I want to watch to know what happens, but that I'm not like, oh, man, what's going to be fun about this episode? Because it's just sort of a long march, especially the end of this past season where that last episode was just like, you saw Rick fall apart. They were driving. It felt like being when you're lost in a car and you're like, oh, no, they were lost except everyone was trying to kill him also. So I understand that feeling, and I hope they sort of embrace this new vibe and there are people can have different emotions. Because the other thing with it is every character is bleak. Like, why can't there be... Who's the fun one?
Whenever there is...
There isn't.
Chansey, the fun guy who keeps throwing parties.
Every
episode. They haven't shown him yet, but
he's going to be a blast.
He's pretty sweet.
He can tie a balloon
animal. It's whenever somebody starts to have fun, whenever anybody feels settled in their lives and has it all figured out, they die. That's how the show works.
The show is maybe the most popular show currently airing.
Yeah.
So they're not going to change much about it.
I think that, you know, Kirkman's writing is pretty amazing, and he's kept this comic book fresh after all these years, and I think the show definitely kind of follows the comic book a little bit, and I understand what you're saying, where you can get kind of repetitive, but it hasn't, like, drove me insane yet. There have been some frustrating episodes, but I haven't been like, fuck this show, I'm done, you know.
Who is Negan, watching the trailer, do you have another guess on who Negan is going to kill?
You know, I tried and I was...
Yeah, there's no clues.
Well, there are no clues. I just mean, did it reignite any thoughts?
No, it just made me angry all over again.
So you don't have any pick?
No, because I'm going to say something and then you'll be right or not and who fucking cares?
But you might...
Yeah, that's how questions work.
Yeah. You must have killed it on the SATs. I could write one, but it might be wrong, and who the fuck cares?
Yeah. Well, that's
sir, please stop shouting. You need to get into college.
But that's the thing. Like, you know, if you don't get it wrong, it doesn't count against you. So, you know.
Cool. Nope. That's not
great.
That's
not accurate. Sir, you're clearly drunk here at the SATs. You? Any pick?
Yeah. I mean, I've heard some stuff, so I'm a little hesitant to say what I think is going to happen, but...
Do you have insider info?
Not really. Kind of.
Oh, now this is weird.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. I'll say this. I think we're going to be right about who we think is going to die, and we're also going to be wrong.
What a dumb answer. Does it mean anything? It's
you
only one
piece
person.
Of shit. Hey, Confucius.
Is it? Oh, interesting.
There you go. How's that for a thing?
How about Glenn and another guy?
Oh, you think he's killing two?
What if he hits Glenn and then the bat bounces and hits him in the face?
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That would be a fun slapstick moment.
That would only work if they had a...
Lucille.
And Chauncey would be like, body time!
Are you auditioning for the role of Chauncey?
I just want the role of Chauncey.
Yeah, I think it's really right.
There you go. All right, let's get another question. You, sir, right over there. What's your name? What's your question?
My name's Connor.
Hey, Connor.
Hello. If you had to swap... top and bottom halves with one of your co-hosts.
Oh, my God.
Who would it be? So you have to get the top of one co-host and the bottom half of the other co-host.
Wait a
second. Why would it be which top and which?
Are you talking about physically?
Wait, hold on. Are you saying I have to switch with somebody? So, like,
I'm telling you,
first of all,
now.
This is my favorite question we've ever been asked. But second of all, if it doesn't have to be me, I'd switch their top halves and bottom halves.
you have to pick between his top half and bottom half, or his top half and bottom half, and then you have to have an amalgamation of each top and bottom half. And it's for Ollie as well.
Yeah, wait, I'm sorry. So, I can keep one of my halves?
One and
so
one.
Have to.
I can't. I rarely. I rarely say that one of our audience members is high, but you must be high though, right?
Wow, this is a great question.
They did just ask this on 60 Minutes.
Yes, they did. Actually, I heard that Hillary, this was her entire speech, is going to be about this. I will switch top half with... Anyway.
Well, but the Bernie Bros wanted to switch top with Bernie.
Right, they did.
So I take your top half and your bottom half.
Because you think his dick is bigger? Fuck you.
Wow.
Fuck you, Pete.
Wow, really?
Fuck
I didn't
you.
Think that, but now I do.
God damn it.
And now does all of our audience. Why?
Because he's smarter. You're more athletic.
Fuck, wow.
That's what I said. You think his dick is bigger. All right, yeah. We don't need to answer this question.
You don't have an answer?
I mean, I choose your top half and his bottom half because his dick is bigger.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, now our dicks are ranked.
So that's a thing.
Well, right, there we go. I'd have to choose Alex's top because I'm worried about Pete's liver.
Sure.
And
that leaves you with Pete's bottom.
Pete's bottom. Well, that big old dick ought to serve me well. That big old Pete hog.
What? All right. Great question.
Great question.
I think we can get two more questions.
Two more questions.
Two more questions. Who's got another question? Anybody? Anybody got a question? Sir, you're raising your hand. You look very confused.
You're clearly
What's your
raising
name?
Your hand.
You're the guy who came in late, right? What's your name?
No, that was some other Rolando.
Oh, huh.
He's less good looking. I really don't have anything.
Is this it?
Oh, fuck you, Rolando. God damn it. You have been ruining this show for... No, you're a great guy.
You really don't have a question? Don't give him comics.
No, don't give him comics for not asking a question.
Come on, man.
Here, how about just think of a question while this gentleman...
All right. You, sir, what's your name? What's your question?
My name is Louis.
Hey, Louis.
Do you have any faith in the Suicide Squad?
Ooh.
Nice. You mean as a crime-fighting force?
Yeah, as like someone who can really.
Are they
going to
be able to stay good?
They seem a little ragtag. Let me be honest.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think they're going to pull it off.
How are they going to keep this team together?
I'll tell you what. If anything goes wrong, I'm going to blow up their heads.
Yeah, cool.
Pretty cool. I keep going back and forth about that one. I don't know about you guys, but there was a while it was my most anticipated movie of the year.
Really?
Superhero movie at the very least. And then I just feel like I've seen too much of it at this point. I know they haven't really shown off key scenes of the movie, but it's so... And this is ridiculous. I realize this is ridiculous, but there have been so many trailers and so many ads and so many character things that it's just I'm a little tired of it going into it about 2 weeks off. How do you guys feel?
I've been trying to avoid a lot of that. Yeah. So I don't feel like I know too much about it. I do think I'm curious. I mean, this is going to go to some of the stuff we're going to talk about later, but DC is making this full court press to be the fun movie maker now. Now that following up on Batman vs. Superman, all the criticism of it being too dark and bleak. And this is like the movie that could be like, all right, we get it. You're having fun. So that would be my big concern with the movie, but I'm definitely going to see it. I hope, I like the director. I think it's going to be shot well. Visually, it'll look cool. So as long as they have a good story.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. I didn't think I would be excited for it, but I am. I also think that it's just what I'm worried about is how the fuck are they going to do all this? Like, it's all the Suicide Squad plus Batman plus Joker. I mean, it's just so
plus
much.
Maybe a couple of other heroes.
Yeah, like, I don't know how it's going to get done, but it seems like it's a problem with DC movies where they're really packing in a lot of different stuff, so I'm worried about the actual story.
What if it gets to be like 2 hours and then someone walks down and is like, sorry, we didn't pack it all in.
And they just, that's how they ended?
Yeah.
Wow.
Whoops.
Whoops. Yeah. Sorry, guys.
I still hope it's good. I mean, we've talked about this a little bit on the show, but even though I was not crazy about Batman v Superman, to put it lightly, I still would like to see DC Universe movies that I like a lot, and I hope this is fun. I hope it's enjoyable.
Yeah, it seems fun.
So you're saying you want movies to be good?
Yeah, I would like to see movies that I like.
Huh. Strong stance from a controversial
I'm coming out swinging. What
yeah,
can I
you
say?
Really are. Yeah.
All right, Rolando, you got a question yet? All right, what is it?
Which one of your co-hosts would you take on a suicide mission with you?
Whoa, wow.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, whose top half do I have in this scenario?
Oh, you have Rolando's top half and Jeff John's bottom half. Oh. So very strong.
All right, I'm not going to say anything about
it. Oh, good.
Yeah.
So suicide mission.
Right.
You get to choose one of us to go with you.
Yeah, so I guess if you're going on a suicide mission, who do you call?
Yeah.
Are we... Pete, I think, because I feel like Pete
he'll kill himself.
Yeah, Pete will just run out there and take all the fire.
Yeah, I would love to go out like that.
He'll Han Solo it. He'll run into the fire and then go, ah, and then run back.
Yeah, maybe something like that.
Nice.
What Pete? About you, Justin?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
That's a tough call. Pete's angry. So he'd be good at yelling at people. But you really want the element of surprise.
Suicide Mission?
Yeah, yeah. What Suicide Mission have you been on? It's like, clearly not one.
Clearly.
I think I take Alex because we could really get into some comics on the way.
Yeah, that'd be great. We'd have a good conversation.
We could really chat about it.
And let me just say, after 10 years, haven't scratched the surface at all.
Let me just say, if we're the ones that are sending on a suicide mission, something's fucked up. Something is deeply fucked up.
Yeah, well, that's why it's a suicide mission, not just a mission.
Yeah. We're going to be booked as a regular mission, but it'll instantly become a suicide mission.
Pete, what about you? Who would you choose?
I'm going to choose Justin. That way I can see him die.
That is so dark. All right, that's it for audience questions. Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Great.
Guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Oh, man. So many things.
Yeah, San Diego Comic-Con, of course, was packed this year with so much stuff. There's so much to talk about. Let's kick it off talking about the DC movie stuff, because not only did they show off Suicide Squad, they also showed off a trailer for Wonder Woman and surprised everybody with a trailer for Justice League.
Right.
So how'd you feel about this? Are you re into the DC movie universe?
I am super excited about Wonder Woman. I cannot wait for this movie. I hope it's going to be amazing. I really want it to be. Watching the trailer got me very excited for it.
Yeah, I agree. I really like the trailer. It's very clear they are Captain America inning her hard, which is good, I guess.
Yeah.
That worked out well. I hope the movie's good. Based on the trailer, it's visually great. Like the all the little scenes were great. I think it's going
to
be good.
Yeah, I was all right with it. I thought it looked very nice, but I needed to see a little bit more. The jokes didn't quite hit for me for whatever reason. Like, I liked... Not to get too analytical about it, but I like the structure of them, but I felt like Chris Pine didn't hit them exactly right a lot of the time. But that said, so many people online were so inspired and so happy about that movie that I can't fault it at all.
Yeah.
What about Justice League?
Here's the thing with Justice League. Oh, you go first.
No, I just felt like I liked the idea, the structure of the trailer where it's like, okay, we get to see Batman recruiting people, which that's a great idea. That's a great way to give me this trailer. I was just a little disappointed in some of the outfit choices. Like, I thought Cyborg looked a little weird. I didn't like Flash's outfit.
Cyborg looked like Rob Liefeld threw that sketch away in like 1992.
Yeah. But I loved seeing Aquaman and like how like Batman walked into this and then he like turns around. I thought that was really fucking badass. But yeah, I mean, I'm nervous about it. So I wasn't like, it was like one of my least favorite trailers that I saw.
Because of your nerves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Justin?
I was talking about before how DC's trying so hard to be like your best friend when it comes to their movies now. And this seemed like such a, it's like Ocean's 11 with Bruce Wayne just running around being like, hey, you want to come to a party? Yeah. You want a cool gig we're going to do? And it feels like it's trying... Like, if Batman v Superman was a huge success, this trailer would not have that, like, guitar-heavy soundtrack.
Yeah, just... we're having fun times!
Yeah.
You guys don't like guitars?
Yeah, I was just playing guitar. Yeah.
No, I love a guitar.
Fucking guitar haters.
I feel if they shifted the camera, just seeing like a dude dressed as Robin, just like jamming up to the side. Yeah. It feels a little like stuff we've seen before.
Really? Have you seen that fish joke before?
No.
I've never seen that before.
About Aquaman? Let me think.
Yeah, like talking somebody say, fish? I hear you talk to fish and then kind of joke about it. Like, I've never seen that before.
Yeah, but the acting that he was doing with his eyes, like he was smiling with his eyes.
Smizing. I think.
Here's my question. Here's my question. Because I honestly was not crazy about the trailer, but they've cut great trailers before for Man of Steel and Batman v Superman that are very stirring. And both of those movies, no offense to anybody in this room or listening, are some of the most painful things that have ever happened to me in a movie theater. And I feel like seeing that third Justice League trailer, I was like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me three times. Why the fuck are you trying to fool me so damn many times?
Right.
Stop it.
It's almost like they want you to pay for a ticket,
right?
And then it doesn't matter what happens.
It's really weird. Here's the thing: is that, like I said, with Suicide Squad, I'm going in with an open mind where I really want it to be good. Right. With Justice League, at this point, because it's Zack Snyder on a DC movie universe movie where he did Man of Steel and it was like physical pain to my body, and Batman v Superman, where I was just so angry and upset for so long, going into that movie, it has to prove it to me.
Yeah.
So you're going to have your arms crossed, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you going to need any popcorn?
That'll help. Maybe I'll get some popcorn. Yeah. I like popcorn.
I agree with you. I feel like Zack's...
Maybe some Twizzlers or something.
Snyder's storytelling ability is... he's like, yeah, the fish jokes. Gotta close the trailer. Like, where he's like... He's like he's like the head of a frat who's like, bros, we're going to run this trailer. It's going to be great. Aquaman's going to drink a Jim Beam and throw it. It's going to be cool. Wonder Woman will be there, but she won't talk because, you know.
See, when he throws it in the ocean, it's okay because one of his fish buddies is going to get it. So it's not like he's really polluted.
Oh, no. So he's going to have like a fish party at some point in the movie?
Yeah.
Sweet.
No, you say you're worried about his polluting?
Yeah. I mean, he threw that empty bottle of Jim Beam.
Let me be honest. It also bothered me that Barry Allen wasn't our Barry Allen.
Yeah.
And
Brad
I think,
Gustin, you mean?
Yeah. I think that is going to prove to be a tactical error going forward, that DC has not coordinated their television properties and their movie properties.
The biggest problem I had with that, because I actually liked Ezra Miller in the trailer.
I did too. I thought that he performed well.
Is it's the same Barry Allen.
Exactly.
That's my issue, is it's not Aquaman. I mean, we haven't necessarily seen Aquaman except on he was on Smallville, right? But
no,
it's a very different Aquaman. Wonder Woman, we haven't necessarily seen on TV. Batman, Superman, etc. But Flash, you got to make him different in some way.
Very different. Make a strong choice or fix your casting. Your show is doing well. Why not just make it right?
Yeah. Have they ever done that where the guy who played somebody in the television show is also the person in the movie?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, Star Trek. but I mean,
the SpongeBob SquarePants movie.
Great point.
Thank
animated
you.
Also.
Yeah.
I do think that like Marvel's doing it in a smarter way in that they're sort of keeping their properties separate. They're doing that universe there and their other universe over there. But they feel, and they're very consciously, related. And so it's the same. It's just it feels like a misstep that they're like, it'll be fine. But if you're a fan of The Flash and you go to see that Justice League movie, you're going to be like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Same guy, like...
Well, I think we'll have to see. That's a good note to move on and talk about some of the Marvel stuff, though. So they had a big panel immediately after the Warner Brothers panel, which seems like a huge mistake on somebody's part, because then you're putting them right up against each other. But they showed off a new Doctor Strange trailer, teased some stuff with Spider-Man Homecoming, and they apparently had a whole variety show with Guardians of the Galaxy. I don't know if you guys heard about this at all, where Michael Rooker and a bunch of the Ravagers came out and heckled the footage as it was coming on, which is kind of great and amazing. Yeah. And then kicked off the whole thing, or ended the whole thing with revealing Brie Larson is officially going to be Captain Marvel. So what did you guys think about that? How do you feel about this news?
Great. All great.
Yeah.
I think, and I don't want to always be down on DC or Warner Brothers movie choices, but it just feels like Marvel gets it so much harder, and they're like, let's make this fun, let's be cool about it. It's sort of, they're just like one step ahead, and DC is just chasing it so hard with all of their moves, both at the con, the trailers, everything.
Yeah, even things like revealing the members of the Black Panther cast, it's such a cool cast.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Like, even if it was not Black Panther and I had no connection and I didn't love that character, I would still want to see that movie because the director and the cast are so cool and awesome.
Yeah.
And I think it's just such a good move. Same thing with Brie Larson as Captain Marvel. It's such a little thing, but she immediately put up this Instagram picture of herself saying, call me Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
And she had exactly the right expression on her face, perfectly channeling it. It's just fun.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm excited for all the Netflix stuff. I was watching the shit out of it.
Well, let's talk about that, because they surprised everybody at that panel. That was supposed to be a Luke Cage panel, and then not only did they drop an amazing Luke Cage trailer, they also dropped an Iron Fist teaser and a Defenders teaser. Pete, I know you were freaking out.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't believe it. I thought We've heard about the casting of Iron Fist, but seeing Danny Rand in action a little bit was nice. Make it a little easier to visualize, so I'm excited about that. One of my favorite comic book characters, so I'm excited for it. Also, Defenders I've never been a fan of, but after just seeing the title, like the different letters in there, I'm like, oh,
yeah, you love fonts, man.
Yeah. What I think is amazing is that Marvel TV has totally upped their game and crystallized what they're about with this Netflix stuff. That
yeah,
I know some people like Agent Carter. I liked it, but never loved it.
Oh, dude,
Agents of
great.
S.H.I.E.L.D. is okay. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is mixed, I think, at best. But that's the nice. Netflix stuff, average all work. Of it is so focused and so different. And to your point about cool, even the Defenders teaser, where it was basically just the logos put together with Come As You Are playing in the background, was awesome. It was great.
The music, the music in the Luke Cage trailer, just was just killer. It was so good.
So amazing. Yeah.
And it makes me want to ask, like, how is it that Marvel is able to operate at that level and DC is not?
Except for the DC TV shows.
Which I think are great. I agree with you.
Yeah, which are good.
Yeah. But that seems like that's being run by a very particular group.
Right.
Is it just that Berlanti and that crew is great? They are great at doing it?
It might be. Here's a theory that I'm just saying out loud right now that I've never thought about before, so I haven't really crystallized it that much.
Oh, good. This is going to be good. This is going to be good.
But I wonder
this could be
if,
about anything.
I wonder if, because the Marvel movies came out first and were so good and set the tone so well, that Marvel TV had to live up to that standard versus TV, even in the era of peak TV, which with amazing TV shows, is kind of looked at as a second citizen to movies. So when the DC TV shows came out and were so good in such a specific way, that didn't affect the movies in any way. That the movies are like, yeah, but now we'll do it. We'll do it the right way. And they're not doing it the right way. So they're not following the high standard set by the TV shows in the same way that Marvel TV has always had to live up to its big brother in the movies.
Interesting. Huh. Is it, a lot of people talk about Zack Snyder. Is it that just they backed the wrong guy to run their program?
Yeah, probably.
Oh.
I mean, probably.
There you go. That also boils
yeah,
it down.
Yeah, well, wait.
Well.
Let's talk about one more piece of news out of Marvel, because this is really interesting. Talking of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Ghost Rider is going to be on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. next season.
Yeah.
Pete, you're a big Ghost Rider fan. You excited about this?
Yes, I am. Hopefully, it's a good Ghost Rider.
It's Robbie Reyes.
I hope so. I hope
it is. You don't have to hope it is.
Well, I mean, we'll see.
Let's yeah,
see
you know that Robbie Reyes is the one who drives a car, not a bike, right?
All right.
I don't know if he knew it, but either way, he doesn't like it.
Yeah.
Did you read the comic? It was actually very good.
Yeah, it was good.
I everybody kept saying that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really good. Was it Justin Jordan writing it? Or
I don't
know.
Believe
I know Trad
so.
Moore did the art.
Yeah, I don't think it was Justin Jordan.
Excellent.
Yeah, the art was beautiful. It was a very new take on Ghost Rider. It was a kid.
Yeah, there we go. Real quick, before we run out of time to talk about stuff, this is comics tangential, but they also showed off the trailer for American Gods.
Yes.
And you are a big Neil Gaiman fan. How'd you feel about this?
Very excited. I actually saw this a month ago, because I know someone in the marketing department there, so I've got one in.
Whoa!
But anyway, it was great. I feel Neil Gaiman's been posting so much about this show, and it feels like they're doing a very... Stars has been doing a great job in general, I think. I've watched a lot of their shows, and I think they're taking a big swing with this show, I think.
Yeah, it's a weird property to be doing. It's a little hard to describe it to people. For those who haven't read the book and don't know about it, basically... Do you think it's okay to talk about the stuff with it? I don't know, just because there's a long time where you don't know exactly what's going on. But essentially,
it's right in the title.
Yeah, the old gods, gods exist.
Yeah.
And the old gods have decided, all
like
right,
a
we're
pantheon.
Not, yeah, we're not going to let these new gods of technology and media and other things take over the world, so we're going to fight them.
Yeah.
And so it's building this army and building towards this big battle, and a guy named Shadow, who's an ex-con, gets caught in the middle.
Yeah.
And it looks amazing. I mean, Ian McShane is perfect for that part.
Gillian Anderson is, it's going to be great.
Yeah, it's a great cast. All right, there we go. Oh, and Pete, there was a trailer for Arrow for the next season of Arrow showed off. Did you check that out?
I didn't even know about it.
That's all the time we have then. All right.
Wow, that's funny. Great. Pete ended that one.
That was weird.
Pete ended that
Guys,
Arrow
we're
going
to move on with the next section, which is trivia. For that, we're going to turn it over to Pete, no longer an Arrow fan, LePage.
Fuck you.
Great nickname.
Fuck you. All right, guys, this part we'll give back to you, the lovely audience. Who would like a chance to win 25 free dollars? Yes, you, first hand up guy. Come on up.
Nice. Great.
All right. Grab this mic.
What is your name, sir?
Hugo.
Hugo, audience. Audience Hugo.
Whoop.
I'll let you hold your $25 gift card. How this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question, listen to all three possible answers, and then if you get the questions right, you will win that $25 you are holding. So this is going to be interesting. All right, so after Trailer Con, or San Diego Con, what trailer did you like the best? Is it A, Wonder Woman,
it's not a
B, Justice League, or C, Defenders, or it could be D, I fucking hate trailers, man. But honestly, which one did you like?
Definitely not Justice League, but it was A.
A, yeah!
Nice.
That is the correct answer.
Way to share your opinion.
Question number two, what do you think the point of a trailer is? I might have been drunk when I wrote these. A, remind viewers about a movie coming up. B, to give viewers an accurate portrayal of what the movie is about. Or C, just fucking show some action with some cool music. What do you think?
It's C.
C, all right. Interesting choice. I'll give it to you. All right, here we go. Last one. How do you handle trailers for a movie you are already going to see? Is it A, you eat them up, you watch as much as possible, as many times as possible? B, you watch them early, but then as we start to get closer, you start to avoid them? Or C, why are we still fucking talking about trailers?
C, why are we still talking about trailers?
Congratulations, great. $25 for you, sir.
Pete.
Amazing. My favorite part, I don't know if you guys ever watch Jeopardy, but my favorite part of Jeopardy is when Alex Trebek says, I don't know, what do you guys think? What's going on?
It is. He always does it in the final round.
He just asks them whatever they think, and whatever they think is right. So there we go. You know what I think? I think tomorrow is new comic book day.
Oh, yeah.
And I recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Wonder Woman number 3 and as well as Black Panther number 4.
Great. Ooh, nice.
Justin, what about you?
I'm looking forward to Jupiter's Legacy.
You love that book.
I do. Well, I liked the first issue.
Such a great movie.
What?
What?
That's not a movie yet.
Oh.
What are you thinking
Jupiter's
ascending?
Oh, that's what it is.
Yeah, very different.
Different thing. Oh.
But the one word is the same.
Yeah, Jupiter.
Nailed it. It's a comic set in a by Mark Miller, one of the ones I like that he makes. And it's set in a superhero world where there's sort of an evil supervillain has taken over, and the children of the main superheroes of the universe have to save the world.
Yeah, and the art is by
Frank Quitely.
Frank Quitely, and it's awesome.
Very nice.
There you go. I'm looking forward to East of West number 28 is coming out.
Whoa, that's usually my pick.
At this point, almost have no idea what's going on in this book.
Have you been reading it all this time?
I have.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
It's crazy. It's also set in this post-apocalyptic world where, as far as I understand it, the Civil War happened a little bit differently, so now there's monsters who take over people's heads and the world is being destroyed?
Yeah, I think that's sort of right. Yeah. The Civil War has less to do with it.
I know, but it's strange. It's like, what if this other world, but literally nothing having to do with that? It's crazy, but it's heading... I don't know if it's specifically getting towards the ending, but it's getting towards some sort of ending.
It is definitely getting towards the
ending. And it is ramping up like
it's
crazy.
It's one of my favorite books. It's top of my stack every week. It's great.
Excellent.
Every month.
All right, cool. A couple of things to plug before we go. Next week, we are going to be back here at the Pit Attic one more week with guest Chris Griggs, who's one of our favorite guys to have on the show.
Also, then after that, we're going to be in L.A.
Yes, we should definitely talk about that. So we're going to be at Nerd Melt in Los Angeles for one night only, August 7th. Sunday, August 7th, 5 p.m. Tickets are on sale now. We do know, we can confirm that Kimmy Gatewood, who does the theme song for our show, and is in the amazing trio, the Apple Sisters, is going to be there as our musical guest, kind of our Paul Schaefer.
So cool.
So we're very excited about that. When she first wrote the song, she talked about her girlfriends in the song. A lot has changed since then. So there we go. Did that sound weird and dark and negative?
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. I guess that's how I meant it. But that's going to be cool. We're going to announce more guests as we get closer. So if you live in L.A. or have friends in L.A., please tell them to pick up tickets now. We're very excited about the show. Also, if you'd like to support the show, GoFundMe.com/ComicBookClubLive or Patreon.
Nice.
Yeah. Patreon.com/ComicBookClub. So check that out.
Say that.
What?
We should figure out how to say that.
Yeah, Patreon.
It's Patreon.
We have a bunch of prizes there. We're going to send stickers starting at the end of the month. So that's
pretty cool.
And a bunch of other cool prizes. Pete, what else do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Usually we have guests. Check us out at comicbookclublive.com, nerdist.com for the podcast and more. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank our fabulous interns, Iman Bell, Tomer Dar, Craig Fletcher, David McKay, and Riley Trahan. We want to thank On Photo, Louis DC.
Yeah!
But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here next Tuesday, but mostly the show is on every Tuesday at 7:30, totally free in New York. So please tell your friends, good night!
Thanks, you guys! Everybody. Good night!